Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the Czech blog. It's 2017. Happy New Year to all of you. I'm James Phelps. This is Jator Pierre. Welcome, Jator. It's great to see you again. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I can see you clearly because I've taken the lenses out of these frames.
You know, leave it to you, Jator, to take out the functional part, whatever it is, and then have it work for you.
But it's a beautiful, for me, it's a beautiful metaphor of like the intellectual, right? The glasses and my underlying need to be perceived as intellectual, which I think can be simply a facade. So I get to make fun of myself on camera, which is always fun.
Good. Well, and that takes part of my job out of my hands too, so.
There you go.
That's great. Well, I'm looking forward to this topic. It's a very timely topic. You know, everybody talks about dreams and goals to start their new year, whatever they are. We know what the data is in some ways on this too. I mean, you hear these kinds of studies at the beginning in every January of every year about how maybe 40% of people, somewhere around there, have resolutions or set goals for the new year. And an even smaller fraction of those folks end up sort of sticking with those goals. The last number I read is 8% of people who actually set goals for the new year reach them.
What was the percentage of that?
8%.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's small. And that is 8% of people who actually set goals, right, reach them. So it's a pretty small number. So
you're saying it's not an uphill battle at all?
No, of course not. You got to stay positive. You know, you and I know, and what we talk about at Czech Institute, it is the importance of having a dream, you know, in order to reach whatever your life goals are, and to draw on as a source of motivation for doing maybe other things it might not like to do, but you know are necessary to reach your goals, your dreams. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to talk to us today about kind of roadblocks to building dreams, why people have such difficult time either discovering what their dream is or maybe working towards it once they know what their dream is. So I'm looking forward to this topic today. Thanks for swinging by.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So we'll do this a little differently today, I think, because usually I go to the right brain quite frequently, very quickly, and my experience of our videos, I tend to then get drawn back to the left and the practical side by you, which I appreciate. I think I want to lay out first kind of the practical side of this, at least from my perspective and how I move through this in my own life. So one of the first pieces is creating your dream. I think that is kind of the centerpiece of what we're going to talk about. What's important, though, about the dream is that what if as a practitioner, as a person trying to achieve your dream, what if simply the idea of a dream doesn't resonate with you? What if that word or the verbiage itself doesn't resonate with you? And then because we're Czech practitioners or we're into this, we inadvertently use that as a North Star, even though it doesn't resonate. So my invitation here as a first practical guideline is, if dream doesn't actually resonate with you as a person, then find a word or an image that does resonate with you, that is motivating to you. What I mean by that is, for me, dream feels a little soft for me. So I like the word purpose. So I use purpose. So when I'm setting down and setting my purpose, that resonates and it draws me toward it. It doesn't feel like I'm getting pushed toward it. It feels like it has a pull, a gravitational pull. Maybe something like a Star Trek where they have that tractor beam, right?
Yeah, right.
I feel like that's pulling me towards it.
Yeah.
So I use purpose. And for me, the purpose of your life or your dream can be this kind of etheric global big picture. And for me, it might need to be the least refined aspect of goal setting.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is, let's say my current purpose, which is written on my whiteboard back there, my current purpose is to share with the world, to express myself, and to face and put myself into situations that I'm slightly afraid of. So there's a part of me that gets a little scared about doing videos with you. There's a part of me that gets scared when I teach. There's a part of me that gets scared when I'm doing my own webinars, etc. And kind of stepping into that and using a semblance of courage to move through that and move toward that. But that's this huge, big picture. So it's a very big, it's so big that it's something I can look up into the sky and go after. However, when I look at my purpose, underneath my purpose, then I have what's called for me, I have it, my vision. So what's my vision? How am I going to achieve my global purpose or what I'm trying to put out into the world? So my vision becomes a little bit more granular, a little bit more specific. So my vision is, okay, I want to have 25 hours a week at $225 an hour. I want that all to be Skype and phone sessions. I want to do very little in-person work, and most of my work is going to be centered on HPA access, gut health, and mental and emotional health, and how to address that. So that's vision, right? So that's, you have my global picture of sharing is kind of a general idea. Getting myself out there is kind of a general idea. So it's a little bit less specific in terms of my purpose. My vision is then one step below that, and that becomes a little bit more focused. And then underneath my vision, then I have kind of my goals. So I have my monthly goal, I have my weekly goal, and I have my daily goal. And each one of those becomes more granular as we step down from there. So my monthly goal may be create more content to reach my vision, to reach my purpose. My weekly goal, I would get even more granular and say, okay, this week I'm going to read these particular books, or I'm going to study this work, or I'm going to put together these webinars, etc. So it becomes a little bit more granular. And then one step below that is my daily goal, which becomes even more refined. Because the more refined that we get, the easier it is to check these things off that we've completed them. The more generalized it is, it's harder to then celebrate at the end of the day what you've accomplished. So if I set a daily goal that says, I want to eat better today, yay for that. What the heck does that mean? But if I set a goal, today I'm going to eat for my dynamic primal pattern type, which is, it feels like today is going to be 50-50. I'm going to do my workout and I'm going to do 4 sets, 5 sets, yada, yada, yada. And I set it out very specifically. And today I'm going to shoot a video with James and complete that process and stop canceling. So it gets more and more granular and becomes more and more specific, with the background idea, though, floating around when you're setting your daily goal, when you're setting your weekly goal, when you're setting your monthly goal. Each of those is then, is that in alignment with my vision? Check. Awesome. Great. Is that in alignment with my vision then? And then is that in alignment with my global purpose? What am I trying to create as Paul would say, a legacy, a dream? What am I trying to leave here? And the reason why that the purpose also might be more generalized is because that gives you space and opportunity to change. It puts less pressure on you that's exactly what it has to be, because inevitably, as you're working on your goals, you're working on your vision, your global dream, your legacy, or your purpose may actually change. And that's okay, because it's more general. But then we go down more and more specific, and that helps to guide us directly toward, again, our vision and toward our purpose. So another thing that I do personally, and I do this on a daily basis because, wow, it really helps me, because I tend to be slightly more right brain than left brain, at least my experience of myself. Other people may argue that.
Confirmed.
it's oh man, it's like this beautiful check-in practice in the morning. So I get up in the morning, I have my whiteboard behind me, and I have my purpose written out. I have a mandala that I created that embodies kind of my purpose, my vision, my goals, and what that represents to me from a kind of an artistic perspective. And then I have my daily and I have my weekly. So every Sunday, I set time aside on my calendar, an hour to check in. Okay, am I in line with my purpose? And is my purpose still feel true for me? Ah, yes. Okay, cool. I'm all for it. Great. My vision, does that still feel true for me and something that I'm motivated to create? Yes. Awesome. Great. Then how am I going to do that this week? And then I set out three or four things I'm going to do this week that are in alignment with creating my vision and my purpose. And then every day I can wake up, look at my purpose right there, look at my mandala, which integrates left and right brain, right? Then I have my vision there too. And that's all kind of inundating my consciousness. And then I can say, okay, well, what do I want to do today? What are three or four things I want to do today that's going to help me achieve and work toward, as a metaphor, meeting the universe halfway? So how am I going to kind of put the tires to the road to create some traction towards what I want to create? So as an example, in the Czech world, if any of you see my videos, I've set an intention to create more videos because that's where I feel more comfortable. I don't really particularly like writing and blogging. That feels a little overwhelming for me, and I don't feel like I can really get my message across. But through video, you get to see my expression. I can be a little bit more free, and it feels more synergistic to who I am. So that's another part of my check-in with myself. It's like, well, what is the platform in which I feel like I can express myself best? Is it blogging? Is it doing videos? What's your niche, etc.? So that, for me, is very motivational and is very helpful towards reaching what my vision and my purpose is. On another flip side of that, which is really interesting too, is that, at least from my perspective, each of us as human beings are all living on purpose. We're already each living our purpose. I would, in fact, go as far as to say it's impossible for you not to be living your purpose. However, what we're talking about now is maybe, for me, your ego's purpose. What do you desire to create in your life from an ego perspective? And I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing, because if you didn't have your ego, you wouldn't be here. So celebrate your ego and find things that you're desiring to create and go after it. Go after it through a humble lens of humbling yourself to, it's okay to change it. It's okay to go after it. And then when things aren't working out, or you're finding yourself kind of self-sabotaging. So let's say my goal is to lose body fat. And that's my current vision, and that's also my monthly goal and weekly goal. So I'm setting these daily goals, but at the end of every day, I'm not checking off what I'm putting out there. I'm not checking off, well, I want to eat this way specifically. Here's my daily walk routine. Here's how I'm going to stand more, and very specific. And I'm not doing any of those things. In fact, I'm going the polar opposite way of that. What's fascinating then is to consider, okay, whenever there's something showing up in your life that feels like you're not benefiting from it, it feels heavy, it feels interruptive, it feels scary, fearful, and or self-sabotaging, you can't move toward it. Ask yourself this very simple question. The question is, how do I benefit from this behavior? So for me, if it was, let's say, body fat loss, okay, well, I want to lose body fat, but I'm sabotaging every aspect of that for that to happen. Interesting. Why? What benefit do I gain? A part of me? What part of me gains benefit through self-sabotaging and not reaching my goals. Oh, wow, that's really interesting. I've never thought about that. You're crazy, Jator. No part of me benefits from not reaching my goals. Really? Then why are you doing it? So from a mental and emotional perspective, which doesn't make any logical sense, at least from my perspective, it's driven by emotion. And at some point in your life, maybe, and in mine, we learned to gain emotional benefit through the lens of self-sabotaging or not being enough, or that we don't matter, or that we get to have the story of telling everybody, you know what, I just can't lose weight. Oh, well, wow, that's fascinating. When I tell people that story, I get a lot of attention and I get to play the victim role. And then people want to come rescue me. And when people rescue me, I feel loved and I feel like I matter. So if I lose body fat and I don't have that story anymore, no one's going to rescue me and then I'm not going to matter. Well, the ego or parts of you are going to have a hard time giving up a story that you gain a grand amount of attention through and through the eyes of the child, gain a lot of love through. Because attention to the child, from my perspective, is love, whatever attention that is. So looking at when you're setting goals and you're setting purpose and you're setting dreams and you're setting things that you want to create in your life and you're sabotaging all of that, the question becomes, why? What benefit am I gaining through sabotaging myself? As another example, which happened about 2 months ago, I was having a consult with a client and this fascinated me. She had multiple blown discs in her spine, in tremendous pain. She had seen osteopaths, functional medicine doctors, chiropractors. I mean, the list goes on, right? Typical kind of check level 4 person that you'll get who's seen everybody else. So we're talking. She's talking. I'm listening and hearing. And I said, okay, well, went into a little dialogue around gut health and inflammation and stability, just a very little bit. Went into the mental and emotional stuff, just a little bit. And she said, you know what, Jator, I don't want to do any mental and emotional work. I don't want to talk about gut health. I don't want to do nutrition. I just want to talk about why my back hurts. And I said, cool. That's awesome. I said, okay, well, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. I said, how do you benefit from your back pain? And she said, wow, no one's ever asked me that question. And she paused and she said, I get the closest parking spot at work. I get to leave at 3 o'clock when everybody else has to stay till 6. My husband cooks me dinner every night and does all the grocery shopping. And she went on and on with all of this benefit that she was unaware of that she was receiving based on her back pain, as well as some of the mental and emotional aspects of, wow, I'm always in pain, and the attention that garners from the outside world. I said, so do you want to get rid of that? She said, no. I said, yay for you. I'll talk to you when you're ready to get rid of that. And that piece fascinates me. And I think, you know, from my perspective, that's an aspect that is kind of missed. It's not when we're coaching ourselves, as well as when we're trying to help others learn to coach themselves, there's an inviting nature of asking questions and curiosity around why is the person sabotaging? Why are they creating what they're creating in their life? And how is that benefiting them? Rather than mainly, at least in my experience of myself in the past, kind of pushing more onto them. Maybe at times it's, is that dream true for you? How many times have you set that goal or purpose or vision in your past? Well, I've done that 100 times. Well, cool. How'd that work? Not very well. 8%, right, James? So there's a lot of undercurrent around setting goals and sabotaging goals, setting purpose and sabotaging purpose, setting vision and sabotaging vision. And that, for me, a coach explores that with their client, explores that not from a judgmental place, whether we have judgment or not is kind of irrelevant. I will have my judgments, yay for my judgments. However, it's knowing that my judgments are essentially irrelevant, and my purpose here is to support my client in helping them get to the underlying stories about why they self-sabotage, why they're not reaching their goals, and really getting curious to the why rather than just the how.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm hearing here, in two ways, there's two sort of parts, big parts to what you've been talking about. And the first part is the actual mechanism of setting your purpose and your vision and your goals, right? And that mechanism. And then there's the, well, once I've got that, why am I not actually making progress towards those, right? The roadblock stuff behind. And you said a lot of really great stuff on the first, well, on both parts. But I was thinking, you know, just trying to encapsulate what it was that you had talked about, the sort of the nuts and bolts how to, because there's some great stuff there. And I liked, you know, that you started right off, you know, there's like a pyramid, right, with this, with what we often call a dream. But you're right, I think for a lot of people to say, start off by saying, well, what's your dream? That word, like any other word, creates, it comes with judgment, right? Mm-hmm. And for some people, the idea of having a dream, as you said, is soft or whatever and doesn't inspire. And so whatever word works for you, whether it's purpose or maybe mission, right? Mm-hmm. Or legacy or dream. But, you know, I guess in some ways, if you don't have that thing at the top, then nothing else flows below it. And so finding out that word, whatever works for you to figure out that sort of the essence of your motivation drive is important. It's not just semantics.
Yeah, and I think the word is important also because of what the word, essentially what it represents to the person, right? So for Paul, a dream works really well, obviously for Paul, right? That works really well. It's kind of like what Paul's talked about in the past in terms of, do you squat or sit? You might say squat to somebody 100 times and the pattern's completely dysfunctional. And then you say sit and then it's beautiful. And that is, you know, the energy behind the word and our association with what the word represents to us then either causes a draw toward the word or a push away from the word. And then once you find whatever that word is for you, for me, it's not simply the intellectual process of finding that word. It's also feeling into your body when you repeat, think, and feel that word. So when I say purpose, I feel light, purposeful, and like almost expanded and open. I say mission, my energy just feels a little heavier. When I say dream, I actually feel confused. So for me, purpose works very well. And then if I'm sabotaging that purpose, well, then the beauty of that pyramid that you were speaking of is, okay, not only can I explore why am I sabotaging it from a mental and emotional perspective, I can also use that pyramid or the purpose or the dream or the legacy as this, again, this Star Trek tractor beam that's pulling me and say, wait a second. Okay, I see myself self-sabotaging. That's okay. Let me look up and see my purpose. Let me look up and see my North Star. Let me look up and see my dream. Let me look up and see my mission. And when we do that, that if it's a pulling force, it's going to kind of open us up and kind of adjust the tracks in a sense. Ah, that is motivational. Yes, like I wanna create that. And that might give me the courage then to explore why I'm self-sabotaging where I want to go. And that, for me, is the beauty of dream, legacy, North Star, mission, is that it gives us a beautiful crutch, something to lean on when we need help through the tough times. We can look up and be like, oh, man, Yeah, a part of me really wants to go after that. And that's going to help me have the courage to move in a different way.
Another thing that you said that I like that I wanted to come back to is this idea that, you know, you're setting very, very specific daily goals that mm-hmm. you understand lead to the achievement of your purpose or your vision, right? And those are important because you oftentimes your purpose or your mission is such, as you said, a general thing that it's hard to measure when you're making success towards it, right? Whereas yes. the daily goals, that's where you're getting this actual, almost quantifiable measure of success and measure of progress. You know, there's this saying that success breeds success, right? Mm-hmm. And so the idea that every time you hit one of those little daily goals and you know that you've completed it, you get this sense of completion and you get this sense of forward movement, and that builds on itself, right? The more you succeed, the more, you know, the more you make that progress. And so having those very specific daily goals that make contact with in a way that you set up with that purpose and with that vision is really importantly motivating.
I'd say hugely motivating. And I love a word that you chose, which is objective measurement. Because when you get to that granular level and you're creating focus and you can objectively create some measurement progress for yourself, it's hugely motivating. Like, honestly, at the end of the day, when I set my to-do list for the day, let's say I pick three things. Today I put four things. When I get to the end of my day and I can knock those each off, I really give myself a moment of celebration. It's fascinating to me in my experience, most of us celebrate ourselves by beating ourselves up.
It doesn't sound like much of a celebration unless you're a pinata, right?
Well, I love using that word because it really gives it some feel. We celebrate in the opposite direction. We over-celebrate by beating ourselves up and being a pinata. And there's not a, you know, one of a Czech principle for me that is, I think for me, the most beautiful and most poignant and most purposeful principle is balance, the yin-yang symbol. So if we're imbalanced in celebrating ourselves through beating ourselves up, how attracted are you going to be towards setting goals and achieving them, or setting goals and achieving beating yourself up because that's what you're used to doing and that's what's familiar? It may feel scary to parts of you to celebrate yourself for accomplishing, because you've never got your needs met through doing that. So you'll set goals to self-sabotage, to beat yourself up, because that's where you feel comfortable and familiar. And that is fascinating to me. And that, once you start to kind of get into that, then you have this motivational factor, right? Where you've given voice to the pyramid to give you the courage to look at that and start to dive into your mental and emotional selves. And then what you're saying is this measurement piece. That measurement piece gives you this objective nature that is very motivating and enlivening, and you get a moment to really celebrate yourself. And I'd also invite noticing that when you celebrate yourself, do you feel guilt or shame about celebrating yourself? And where did you learn that you shouldn't celebrate yourself? I mean, that is fascinating in of itself. So when I'm celebrating myself, I watch that come up. If it does, go deal with that. And we'll get into another video on that. But in the meantime, I really am taking moments daily to celebrate and create. What are we really saying here? These are conscious awareness rituals, right? We're creating focus in our lives. We're creating self-awareness. We're creating consciousness. You could put this under the idea of a meditative work that helps you reach what you want to create in your life, and maybe also humbling yourself to what your overall purpose is may not be what you end up creating. But through going after that, you're going to create something beautiful. And you might get a new direction that takes you off the path that you never even thought you were interested in. So the measurement and objectivity of it, I think, is very important, as well as the right brain. again, back to this idea of balance. I can't imagine that we have a heart and a mind unless they're supposed to be in balance when we go through life. I think they're both valid and important.
And you know, another thing that you mentioned in sort of the how-to section, and you sort of did this inadvertently, but was you make touch, you make contact with your purpose and your vision every day.
Right? Every day.
And you do it in a very tangible way because, one, you have your whiteboard behind you and you've written it out. And when you go and you get up in the morning and you look at that whiteboard, there it is sort of smacking you in the face, right? And you have mm-hmm. mandala that you also make contact with. And then, of course, you set your daily goals. So you have a really tangible visual contact connection with your goal, with your purpose and your vision yeah. every single day. And so maintaining that contact with it and sort of drawing on it as a daily source of inspiration and motivation, and it seems like a pretty important, really important to achieving that purpose as well.
You know what I love about a lot of the work that we do at the Czech Institute is that there is a lot of heart to it. There's also a lot of mind to it, and I love the balance of the two. And for me, what you gave voice to is the mind side of it. It's very motivating, and I honestly learned this kind of template from Paul, and where it got kind of even more driven into me is hanging out with our good friend J.P. Sears. He's a good friend of mine, and in hanging out with him, really just watching how he runs his life and how he puts together, okay, whatever his videos and how he lays it out and how he really focuses on and carves time out of his daily routine to go after what he wants and desires from his heart and from his head, in my experience. And seeing that and watching that, I was thinking, wow, that watching him was motivational to me. And I was like, okay, well, what can I learn from this situation? What's similar and different? Okay, well, I have a lot of these things I want to create too. Is my ultimate goal to be as big as JP? No, it's not. However, there are things I want to create. So can I use what I'm seeing real time in front of me with how JP carves things out and then implement that in my own life and using what I've learned from Paul, what I've learned from JP, what I've learned from Chris Kresser, all, and taking what I've learned from those three men and implementing that in my own life through this kind of methodically staged out process, and then having the balance to that to then look at, okay, well, when I am self-sabotaging or going the opposite direction of what I want to create, why? Getting really curious about that. So then I have this kind of left brain direction as well as the heart to explore when I'm going off track, which really gives beautiful focus to what we want to do.
Yeah. And I like what you just said there, right? Because that comes back to the, you know, we can all build goal structures. I don't think in many ways that's the real challenge here. I think it's, as you just said, having the heart to explore when you're not meeting them, right? That's the real, I think, the real difficulty. That's the hard work.
I would agree. It's kind of what we were chatting about prior to getting on, is that's where we're afraid. You know, it's as a relative screen, it's easy to take supplements. It's easy to eat food. It's easy to go to sleep as a relative idea. What's scarier than anything to most human beings, it's intimacy. Into me, I see. To look into yourself and ask the questions, why do I do what I do, is very, can create a lot of fear in us, because parts of us gain lots of control by being unseen. So if there's aspects that are running our life, and I'd say lots of aspects running our life, from the more shadow side, and I simply mean that it's just our unawareness side, they gain a lot of control of our life. The ego, part of the ego's job is to create the illusion of control. So if we're going to look into that, aspects of you are going to freeze up and say, nope, not there, because I gained too much control from being in the shadow. So how do we kind of encourage and courageously explore ourselves the same way we do it in kind of these more linear aspects of life, whether it's goal setting or hypertrophy or performance or whatever it is? How do we courageously take a moment, wow, let me start to turn this around and look underneath my stories? And it doesn't have to be a deep dive. It can just simply be curiosity of, I wonder why I set goals and sabotage them. And rather than thinking into that, what if you just said, if I had to guess, where did I learn this behavior? And pay attention to what comes up. Just feel what comes up. Your intuitive mind, your heart will guide you, and you will see an image, you will see a number, you will see something. Because essentially by using a guess, we're kind of lulling the pit bull aspect of our ego to sleep. The protective aspect, because the protective aspect of us says, what are you going to learn from a guess? So it essentially the pit bull stays down, which opens up your intuition, and you can just, oh, what? Wow. At 12 years old, there was a situation where my dad said, son, you're never going to amount to anything. And how do I know that? Because I can see it in you. And you became self-hypnotized to that story at 12 years old, and you've proliferated it ever since. Done. So you'll just be a goal setter for the rest of your life who never achieves your goals simply because a part of you is still hypnotized at 12 years old based on a moment that you experienced, your experience of your dad's words, that you believed and self-hypnotized and have proliferated that for the rest of your life. And that's in your shadow. You're unaware of it. And that's what shows up in your life.
So, gosh, now this is a whole... I feel like we could be on this interview for a very long time, Jator, because, and it is the natural question is, okay, so what do I do when I've had that being moment, right, where I've stumbled onto that hypnosis, right, or whatever it happens to be, right, that I really feel is the linchpin, right, in this whole habit of self-sabotage. What's the next step? And maybe that's what we talk about in our next interview.
Yeah, let's do it.
Good. Well, that's great. I mean, this is, there's so much in here, I think, to start with, too, for any of our listeners, any of our viewers, on, you know, just making a really motivating and useful goal structure and a way to sort of start off your 2017, and that's exciting.
Yeah, I would invite myself and all of us to, could 2017 be the year that you learn to have courage and the courageousness to look within yourself and ask these questions. Even ask the question, why is my purpose? That can be the first thing you ask. What do I gain out of setting a purpose? What does that mean to me? And that might be the first question to explore from a childlike perspective. Remember when we were kids and we were imaginative and we were curious and we were playful and we were, oh, wow, mom, why is the sky blue? That style of thinking rather than maybe the teenager who knows everything.
Right. Oh, and as a related question, we're ending this with all these open-ended questions. related to what you were saying too, am I sure that the purpose that I've set for myself really is my purpose, right? Have I got my purpose? Do I know what it is? Because if you don't, you know, if thinking practically to that pyramid, right, mm-hmm. if you don't have the purpose at the top, then these daily goals at the bottom are, you know, they're gonna start to feel like chores, right, rather than something that's, as you were talking about, that's attracting you towards something that really is deeply motivating within of you.
It's why you and I get on here and do this. For me, it's, this is part of my global purpose and my vision. My purpose was right to share, to experience, and to kind of share this kind of global perspective on mental and emotional health, gut health, and the HPA access. Well, how can I do that? Part of my vision and part of my weekly goals is to do videos with you. So when we get on here, this doesn't feel like work to me. This feels like opportunity. And it feels like play, and it feels like a great platform to share and connect, and also to share my heart with the world, and hopefully that some of what I share resonates with some people so that they start to till their own soil in their own way.
Yeah, yeah.
Find their purpose and their vision and their dream, and connect with other people and do the same thing.
And that's interesting, you know, and in many ways it all goes back to balance, like you were talking about, right? So goal setting is pretty clearly an intellectual in ways activity, but the test of the goal about whether it's really, you know, or your purpose, whether it's really, that's really it, is the emotional side, right? It's the, how does that intellectual activity sit within, you know, my being, my, who I am.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Great. Well, this has been, your glasses worked, Jator.
I'm going to get like some heart frame ones for the next one where it's like super heart based, and we'll just wear like.
Nice. And we should get like smoking jackets too, right? And some pipes and perfect.
Totally.
Yeah, great. Awesome. Good. Well, thanks for this, Jator. This was really great. And I hope, you know, all of our listeners and watchers really benefited from this. I know I did. And, I think we'll touch on this topic again for our next interview, because like I said, there's lots of questions to keep exploring, especially kind of on the why side and the roadblock side. Because as I said, I think, like, you know, we were saying, that's where the sort of difficult, the harder work it comes from.
I think as an offering too, for whoever made it through this whole video, put the questions in the comment section, and then we can kind of, you know, whatever on any of the videos that I've done.
Yep.
Or that you and I have done, James, together, put questions there, and then James and I can dance with those questions.
That's right. Or I'll let Jator do the dancing.
That's awesome. Yeah,
okay. Good. Well, thanks a lot, Jator. Thanks to everybody who joined us, and looking forward to chatting with you again.
Yeah, thank you, James.